Joining me on the phone from Washington, Senator Dick Durbin. Good morning, Senator.
How are you? Good morning. How
you doing? I'm doing just fine. Going to start with what I kind of thought was a surprise announcement yesterday. The Trump administration making that announcement that they're starting to ban the sale of most flavored e-cigarettes and nicotine pods, the only exception being that straight tobacco flavor. That's been something you've been working on for some time. Really, I think, even before it was the front page news, going back with work with Senator Murkowski. I think on one hand, it's got to be good to get this over the finish line, but on the other one, maybe a little frustrating that in order to get people to sit up and pay attention, that it took six people dying, including one here in Illinois.
You're exactly right, and I really think that plus one other thing made the difference. The other thing was a national survey. Here's what we found. 2 years ago, 1 out of 10 high school students were vaping using e-cigarettes. That was 2 years ago. Last year, that number had gone to 1 out of 5, from 1 out of 10 to 1 out of 5. This year, it's gone to 1 out of 4 as we start this new school year. This is an epidemic, and it is not harmless, as many of these kids think. It is the use of nicotine in one of these e-cigarettes or one of these pods that has more nicotine in one hit than you get in an entire pack of tobacco cigarettes. So it's a ton of nicotine coming at you. And what they're doing is putting in flavors and other chemicals into these pods, and it's causing dramatically negative medical outcomes. We've had over 400 people who have been admitted to hospitals with problems from vaping. They're having difficulty breathing. Six, as you mentioned, one in Illinois, have died as a result of it. A third of those who come to the hospital complaining of vaping problems are put in intensive care. It's that serious. So I'm glad the administration made this move. I've been on them literally for years to do this. I don't know any other way to spare these kids from this addiction, which could harm them, in some cases kill them.
Farming, moving on to and trade, two issues going hand in hand these days. I know you met this week with the Illinois Farm Union, the Illinois Farm Bureau as well, heard some of their concerns. You've also introduced a new piece of legislation called the America Grows Act, which I think is a great political name. It sounds very positive, but it doesn't give me too many details. I wonder if you could fill me in on that.
The GROWS Act talks about regular annual increases in agricultural research. We know that as a result of research, farmers will be more productive, the farms will be more profitable, and we will have a better selection of food and fiber across the United States and around the world. If you're wearing a wrinkle-free shirt now, for example, or blouse, I can tell you that the wrinkle-free technology was developed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture in their labs. So it's an indication of something that you might not associate with the government, but came right out of one of the labs. Unfortunately, our competitor in this world, China, the leading competitor, is dramatically increasing ag research. We're not. So I think we ought to keep up with them and keep our lead, and that's why I've called for this America Grows. Let me mention just one other thing. I had a visit yesterday, as you mentioned, earlier this week from the Farmers Union, yesterday from the Illinois Farm Bureau. I have never seen a group of our farmers more worried, let me just put that word out there, that I've seen these farmers coming in. They are seeing prices that are unsustainable for their farm operations. They're seeing this tariff war with China, which is hurting them in terms of a customer we counted on for years to come. They're watching the administration give what's called small refinery waivers, so fewer and fewer oil companies are blending ethanol, alcohol fuels, which hurts our farmers as well. They were really down in the dumps and disappointed over the situation. I've just never quite seen them in this mood. Now, farmers go through tough times, and they're tough, and they respond. But this is a very tough year for them.
Speaking of people worried and disappointed, parts of southern Illinois still cleaning up and rebuilding after spring and lasting into summer flooding. Governor Pritzker has submitted roughly $61 million in applications for federal disaster assistance. Are you able to give us any kind of update on that at the federal level?
I can tell you we're on it. Senator Duckworth and I are supporting the application for the federal assistance. It's always tough. We should never assume we're going to get it. But I think we've got a good case. I'm glad Governor Pritzker showed leadership on this. I think we can work together on a bipartisan basis to appeal to the Trump administration to help. We desperately, our counties and states, our counties and localities definitely need this helping hand.
It seems to be one of the complaints of the former Rauner administration was that he didn't interact with the federal government as much as he could, didn't ask for their assistance. Is, in your experience, has Governor Pritzker been more willing to come to the federal government and ask for help when help was needed?
I was thinking about it last week when I was down in Carbondale and Murfreesboro and Marion and all around southern Illinois. On that Tuesday, I had two telephone conversations with Governor Pritzker. I want to tell you, in the 4 years of the previous governor, he never called me once. We didn't have one conversation. I just don't understand it. I mean, there are a lot of things we're doing in Washington that have a direct impact on our state. And it's good to have a governor who reaches out to me. I have his home phone number. He answers the calls. We have a good working relationship. We don't agree on everything, and we're not likely to, but he's been a good cooperative person, and I really think he is trying his best to deal with problems he didn't create.
Yeah. You mentioned you were in southern Illinois 1 week ago yesterday, I believe. You made stops at the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute, Centerstone, the Cancer Center, I believe, the Autism Society. It's not really fair of me to ask you to distill a whole day down into 45 seconds or a minute, but what was the issues, you know, unique to southern Illinois, maybe even unique to Jackson, Williamson County, that those folks, when they get the opportunity, they want Senator Dick Durbin to know about and they want him to take back to Washington?
Well, what I heard was this. Surrounding states are seeing hospitals in rural areas close. Fortunately, that has happened very rarely in our state. But we have a serious problem in bringing in doctors, dentists, and medical professionals in our rural areas. So I've joined with Senator Blackburn, she's a Republican senator from Tennessee, to create a program that's going to attract more doctors and dentists and medical professionals to rural areas like southern Illinois. I was on the floor yesterday talking to my colleagues about this. What I hear, and I meet with hospital administrators and folks from the nearby clinics, they are desperate to bring in people to provide the kind of services folks in southern Illinois need. The alternative is driving to St. Louis or Evansville. I want to make sure there's a doctor, a good doctor, and a good specialist closer to home.
We're joined this morning by Senator Dick Durbin. With so much news going on, so much things making more news, and I really think they deserve some things, don't get enough. What's maybe one thing on your radar you think that we need to know about, something you're behind, that's just not getting the press it deserves?
Well, the cost of prescription drugs. I can tell you, people across the country, certainly across our state, tell me that, for example, the cost of insulin, which 7 million Americans depend on every single day, life or death insulin, has gone up dramatically. It's over $320 for a vial of Humalog, which is a very common insulin. And what we're seeing is these drug companies driving these prices through the roof. It's something I'm working on in Washington, and I really think it hits home with a lot of your listeners here. You know, the doctor gives you a prescription, says this will take care of you, and you go to the drugstore, and they tell you what it's going to cost or what the copay or deductible is, and you say, I'm sorry, I can't afford to buy this. Or if I buy it, you know, I've got to take half the dosage. I've got to stretch it out. That's just unacceptable. And these drug companies are running up the costs on drugs that were discovered decades ago. They do it because they can, and it's up to Congress and the President to stop it.
Coming up on 7:30, Senator Dick Durbin, I can't tell you what an honor it is to talk to you for a kid from Ava to be on the radio talking to his senator. It's a big honor. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks a lot. It's good to be with you this morning.
I thank you. Have a good day, sir.